Constantinople, now it's Istanbul. Now Constantinople, been a long time gone. Constantinople, now it's Turkish delight on a moonlit night. Every gal in Constantinople lives in Istanbul. Now Constantinople, so if you've a date in Constantinople, she'll be waiting in Istanbul. Even old New York was once New Amsterdam. Why they changed it, I can't say.
People just liked it better that way.
So take me back to Constantinople. Can go back to Constantinople.
Okay. Sorry I'm late today.
Eh, late is late. Who cares?
You want to hear why I was late?
Well, let me start off by saying this. I'm pretty sure Satan raped me in the asshole last night.
Okay, I want to hear your story first.
I'm almost 100% positive that Satan raped me in the fucking asshole last night. God damn it. I really wish my OCD would... There we go. I need to stop... Damn it. There we go.
Raped in the ass?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure...
This is Taking It to the Short Bus.
Taking It to the Short Bus? Taking it! Just a little bit. Okay, moving on. No, I'm pretty sure Satan raped me in the ass while I was sleeping, because last night, or this morning, I woke up and I was a little bit bow-legged, and I farted. And it gurgled and it smelled like sulfur.
Oh, jeez.
Like horrible, mm-hmm. like sulfur. So I'm pretty sure Beelzebub fucking blasted me in the ass last night, because it smelled like demon spooge in my fucking, when I farted. Oh, God, it was awful.
You remember those farts where you put your hand under your armpit and fart?
I never could do that right.
I couldn't do it. It takes a little practice. But my son's got me beat. He came home one day and put a straw under his armpit and started blowing in the straw.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Oh, Jesus.
By the way, I bought one of the little fart things from Jackass. What's his name? Johnny?
Oh, Johnny Knoxville?
Yeah.
Well, the fart machine?
No, it's just the little rubber thing that you push, squeeze, and it's supposed to fart.
Oh, the pooter?
The pooter, yeah.
You finally found one?
Got one, and it doesn't work very good. It's going to take a little practice. I mean, I'm talking months, I think. Maybe it's the wrong time.
We should film a little fucking, like, Rocky training montage. You fucking trying to, like,
I've been
training,
doing it for days, yeah.
Training to use the fucking pooter. And it's the eye of the tiger. It's the fucking...
Just
I can follow you around when you're.
You can only do it so
suit.
Long before your hands get your. You know, it's a good workout for your fingers.
You get all cramped up.
Oh, there it was. I can't do it again.
Fucking follow you around. You're a bum, Donald. A bum.
I'll put a towel around my neck and get all sweaty jogging and also.
Put one in each hand, and you can punch a side of beef with it in your hand, trying to make fart noises.
I heard it that time. It ain't good enough.
Sorry.
You need to be the best.
I'm the best. I can't do a good Stallone. I'm not good at that. Well, like, we're spiking out here on the levels, and I'm getting pissed off at that. There we go. Much better. So, yeah, that's how my day started. Lucifer blasted me in the ass.
Rip you in the ass.
Fuck it, yeah, dude. You know what was even more fucked up? I don't know what the hell happened the other day, and I haven't told my wife about this. I should probably change the sheets on the bed. What a great way to start a fucking story, huh?
Yeah.
I should probably change the sheets before my
I
wife finds
I think we need
out.
To change the blankets.
Fucking, I don't know what the hell I ate the other day, but I got out of bed, and I was getting ready to get in the shower. This is another Mike Naked story. And I was standing there by the bed, and I farted, and it was, like, really wet.
In bed?
No, I was standing next to the bed. I had gotten out of bed, and I farted. And, like, standing up, I was just like, oh, I gotta get to the shower, and I was like, oh, I gotta fart. And I let one fly, and it was fucking, like, really, like, abnormally fucking juicy. And I turned around, and there was, like, a fucking splash mark.
Jesus.
Across the, like bird shit, wet splash, like splatter mark across the bed. And I'm like,
across the bed.
Yeah, so I'm like, ah, oh, crap. And we didn't have any toilet paper in the room at the time.
Oh, Jesus.
So I cleaned it up with some Preparation H wipes. I don't know if that made it better or worse.
No, you need to wash those things. I was just wondering, what's easier? What would you rather clean up? Would you rather clean up barf on the floor or poop on the floor?
Oh, God, that's a hard one, because somebody, like, the quickest way to make me vomit is show me somebody else's vomit.
Yeah. And smell it.
Yeah.
You bring that up. Yeah, which brings up the, you know, I was late today.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
I
was, you know, playing around with my son. He thought he would show me who's the man. And he grabbed a bunch of lunch meat out of the refrigerator and started eating it for breakfast. A bunch. Old stuff, too. It's been there for a couple of weeks. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say
so
once.
We're in the bed wrestling around and stuff with Mom. We're wrestling around and stuff. And he gets under the sheets and I go, ooh, it's a good time to let one go. And he come out of the blankets and started running down the hall going, bleh! Ran into the bathroom down the hall, threw up in the bathroom. He didn't make it. He got it all in the hallway there.
Oh, you know what? I think I can I think I can trump that. I won't throw up. Like, if I'm sick, I won't throw up unless somebody mentions that it looks like I might throw up. Like, I'll just sit there and be... I don't know if that makes any sense. I'll just sit there and look sick. You know what I'm saying? And if somebody goes, dude, are you going to throw up? most times I'll be like, I think I am. And I'll projectile vomit right then. I won't be sick until somebody points out the fact that it looks like I'm going to be sick. That being said...
This needs to be broadcasted to everybody.
Yeah, when I was a kid,
keep this in mind.
It was a running joke that Mike could not make it to the bathroom. Or any kind of sink, toilet, outside, anything. Mike could never make it to a fucking proper vomit receptacle. Okay? And I remember we were living up in Lake Elmenor, and I think I was sick. And I was sitting on the couch. And somebody, I think it was my mom, looked at me and went, are you going to be sick? And I just, And I got my brain's just going, you're going to make it this time. This time you will make it to the fucking crapper. To vomit. And I fucking jumped up off the couch and took two steps and then, like, puked a little bit on the carpet, but, like, held most of it back. Like, got a half barf, like, a little bit in my mouth. And I'm like, okay, I'm not gonna. And two more steps and then a little bit more. And I'm like, fuck this, I'm gonna make it. I'm gonna make it! And I rounded the corner into the bathroom and I went on the fucking linoleum and I stepped in it barefooted.
And it's really slippery.
And just went whoop! Straight up into the fucking air, like Three Stooges style. I mean, like one of those really exaggerated slips where you end up fucking we end up horizontal in the air. And then you fucking slam into the fucking ground, and I fucking went horizontal in the air and proceeded to fucking projectile vomit like all down the fucking door. Like I like puked midair and just went and arced as all the way as I went down. So as my mom rounded the corner, she was like, vomit, okay, a little bit of vomit, okay. And then she looked in the bathroom, and I'm laying there in a pile of fucking puke, and it's dripping all down the fucking door. And on the fucking counter and shit, and she just, oh my fucking God. Just vomit everywhere. It's awesome.
You look like you're going to get sick, Mike.
Are you going to be sick, Mike?
Sounds like a rap song.
That's what I was listening to. I was telling you, I was listening to a Scottish comedian last night. And he was talking about club music. Sounding
Scottish
like,
comedian.
Talking about a cat. He was talking about club music. Sounds like a cat about to get
sound
sick.
Like Scotty in Star Trek?
Yes. And he was talking about club music. Sounding like a cat about to get sick. And I really think we should my cat makes that noise constantly. I think I'm going to start recording it. And I'm going to try and make a techno song where the fucking main beat is my cat going...
Jeez. Put it on a loop and then add a few words to it.
Yeah, I think I could do that. Make fucking like... Make a techno fucking club dance song completely out of cat barf noises. I think I could do that.
Oh man.
I think I'm just in a horribly creative mood because on the way over here I had the fucking greatest and worst thought ever for a project.
Wow. Greatest and the worst at the same time.
At the same time, simultaneously awesome and
be like, this is really good, and then all of a sudden go, yeah, but the consequences.
Like I said, I've got you watching it too, watching a lot of Supernatural.
Oh yeah,
I didn't say Sanctuary this time. But I was, I just some reason I have that on the brain like vampire hunting and shit, and I thought, wouldn't that make the greatest like fucking porn, like sexorcisms. Like, they go around finding women that have been, like, possessed by evil
sex.
Yeah,
sure, it's out there.
Yeah, I'm like, I think that would make the greatest fucking porn ever, and I'm actually kind of depressed that I'll never get to make it. Because can you just picture, like, me wearing, like, a Van Helsing, like, fucking leather trench coat with, like, the big fucking, like, Vampire Hunter D hat, like, a bandolier of fucking, like, dildos and butt plugs and shit, and, like, some, like, lube. Glass bottles, but they've got little crosses on it, like, it's holy lube.
Holy water.
But, yeah, but it's fucking anal lube. Because for some reason, I just had this mental picture of, like, a Vampire Hunter, like, standing there with a fucking wooden stake in his hand. But instead of a stake, it's just like a big fucking giant double-headed purple dong. Because they always have like, you notice that, they always have that like duffel bag full of like supplies for hunting evil.
In back of the car, whole shit.
Yeah. I just picture that full of fucking like ball gags and fucking cat of nine tails and hand fuzzy handcuffs.
You're going to have the crossbow with the fucking logo. Dildo on it.
A fucking dildo crossbow. That would be fucking awesome. And we could go around the country performing sexorcisms, driving the evil out by fucking hot college girls. Damn it, I'm married! I could make $1 million with this. I guess I'll just have to direct it.
Have you checked to see if there is a porn like that?
No, because I only thought about it on the way over here and giggled a lot to myself. I wonder if I could get my wife to start something like that. Maybe just like me and my wife will make that movie.
Instead of throwing up pea soup, it's like wife.
Oh, fucking like spinning her head around and jizz spewing out of her face.
All over you and stuff. And dripping all over.
Ultimate demon snowball. Ugh.
Hey, you can wipe it off and go, ooh, you missed something. Taste it.
Have you been?
Who is this?
You been eating a lot of pineapple, bitch? Oh, God. That would be fucking hilarious. Why didn't I think of this when I was like 20-something and single? Damn it.
They're too busy and hanging out in the bars and crap.
I was too busy living in a Datsun to be thinking about, well, I was probably thought about making porn a lot. There's not much to do in the back of a Datsun.
Datsun porn.
In the Yeah, dude. Fuck Herbie the love bug. Oh, Jesus. We've got Wilbur the fuck Datsun. Yeah, that's. I just copyrighted that, fuckers. That's mine. I'm gonna make that movie. Wilbur the fuck Datsun. Fuck Herbie the love bug.
Alright.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, alright.
That's Mike's disturbing beginning to the fucking show. Sorry about that.
Alright.
So far, I farted Lucifer's jizz. I shit the bed. Talked about making techno music out of my cat puking. Making a porn movie with out of vampire hunting. So far, I'd have to say it's a good start. Let's see, what else is there? And you know what? You want to know why it's such a good start? You want to know the awesome reason why Mike's with it today? Let me tell you something right now. I got monster, bitches! I bought me some. I'm so fucking happy. What the hell was that? Is this the fucking Arsenio Hall show?
No, monster. That's the monster.
The monster. The official monster. The official monster noise. Wow. So I was fucking perusing around on the internet, looking for whatnot and stuff to talk about on the podcast, and come across some disturbing ass shit. Let me bring up my fucking...
All porn.
No. Well, one of them's porn.
This is great. This is great.
Nobody told me about this. Apparently on the 14th, they had half-naked people running through downtown Chico. Like a shitload of them. Nobody tells me about this stuff.
What's that all about?
It was the fucking second annual undie run. What people do is they go down there and they fucking get undressed down to their underwear and they take the clothes that they've
girls
taken
too,
off.
Women too, right?
Women, men, fat people, everybody, dude. Fat all people. Kinds of people. And there was like fucking 400 people show up.
You could just do that. You could do that.
And
wax on, wax off.
Wax on, wax off. Fucking rub my nipples while I'm saying that.
And what kind of underwear are you going to wear?
Spider-Man? Yeah, my Spider-Man fun, my Batman Funderoos.
Batman Funderoos.
Yeah, my Batman Funderoos. I think that would be disturbing as all shit. The cops would be like, all right, everybody else can stay, but you have to go. That's just creepy, dude. Seriously. But I guess the clothes they take off, they have collectors that go around and it's all donated to the Salvation Army.
Ah.
So there's actually a reason behind
it. You gotta buy those clothes back if you want.
Yeah, no shit. I accidentally wore my good shirt. But no, that there was a reason behind people running naked in downtown Chico. Well, mostly naked. It was all donated to fucking
that's good enough reason
Salvation
to get
Army.
Naked.
Yeah. But nobody ever tells me about this shit. This is the second one we've had, and I've never heard about it. Yeah. I need to leave my house every now and again. Get off the fucking internet.
All right. Well, speaking of internet, you got this Darth Vader thing.
Yeah, I had you bring up... I want to try and start... I got all these new segments I want to fucking start, and none of them really stick. I want to try this one. I want to do this every week. I want to feature a new kick-ass geek tech, like a new geek toy every week. And I think I found a good one.
Okay.
I had you open it up to geekalerts.com. It's the Star Wars toaster.
This is bad.
Fucking A, dude. I don't know when it... estimated to arrive. It arrived in January last year, 2009.
And it's black and shiny, just like the helmet?
Yeah, it's a fucking black, shiny toaster that says Star Wars on the side of it. And what it does is it toasts, makes toast, but it burns an image of Darth Vader under the side of your fucking bread.
Yeah.
Which is fucking brilliant.
Yes.
That is absolutely awesome. So I have to say that's today's Geek Tech of the Week, man.
Check it out. Darth Vader toaster.
When sipping your morning coffee from your Darth Vader's helmet, which actually I use I have a Stormtrooper mug, you can also brand your toast with a silhouette of the Dark Lord of the Sith using your Star Wars toaster. This black, ominous kitchen appliance easily leaves the mark of Vader's helmet in every yummy piece of toast. Slather some bantha butter on top of it. Oh, Christ. Really? And make two pieces for an extra Sithy BLT.
That is a nice image of Darth Vader.
Fuck yeah. It's kind of Scully looking. Not like Scully, like Mulder and Scully, but like a fucking, looks like a fucking skull.
Well, if they can make this Darth Vader, they can make anything on there. I mean.
Yeah.
Wow.
Big dick on the side of your bread.
That's what you want.
Fucking A, dude. Dick bread.
You probably make it say something, too. Right?
Yeah. Oh, shit. Advertising toasters?
Advertising toasters.
That would be awesome.
With your own name on each
taking
toaster.
A short bus toaster.
There you go.
That'd be fucking awesome. How hard would it be to burn TTSB into the side of every just piece of toast?
The whole bus.
That'd be fuck. Yeah, just a picture of a front end of a bus.
There's Darth Vader. Get on the bus.
Fuck yeah.
Get
dude.
On the bus.
Speaking of Darth Vader, did you know yesterday was the 30th anniversary of Empire Strikes Back?
30th. Yesterday.
Yes. The day before that, 30th anniversary of Pac-Man.
Pac-Man came out at the same time Star Wars did.
Star Wars Episode 5 would have been the second one in the series of the Holy Trilogies.
Pac-Man 1. Is that what you're talking about?
No. What do you mean Pac-Man 1, like the first Pac-Man, or Pac-Man 1, like Pac-Man?
What did you just say? The day before the 30th anniversary was the 30th anniversary of Pac-Man. Right?
Yes, Pac-Man came out a day before The Empire Strikes Back.
Wow.
The second of the Holy Trilogy. So, yeah, it was a good weekend, man. Good fucking weekend. Friday was International Pac-Man Day. Saturday was 30th anniversary of the Empire Strikes Back, which, in my opinion, is one of the best of the Holy Trilogy, I'd have to say.
Pac-Man is?
No, not Pac-Man. The Empire Strikes Back.
Because 30 years ago, it was in the screen.
Yes, 30 years ago, it premiered.
And sometime 30 years ago, there was kids watching. I've seen it 27 times.
Yeah.
Wow. I saw it once, dude.
My mom took me to see...
I don't remember it.
My mom took me to see Star Wars Episode 1. I should be shot for that. Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope, the first of the Holy Trilogy. Apparently, I went to see that when I was 8 months old.
8 months.
Yes. So apparently it's...
You mean 8 months in the womb?
No,
or
eight months old.
A baby.
Yes. A child.
Crying and making everybody else go, shut the baby up.
No, I was probably enthralled. Or sleeping. Or breastfeeding. See what other news we have. We talked about the Vader toaster.
Made you breastfeed so you'd shut up. And
talked about the Vader toaster. We talked about people half naked in downtown Chico, and I fucking missed it. You guys are assholes. You never tell me what's going on. This one is I find disturbing. Not the fact that it happened, the fact that people still fall for this shit. an Australian girl, Nona, I can't even begin to pronounce that last name, B-E-L-O-M-E-S.
Belona.
O-F-F.
Nona Belona.
Blomzoff. Blomzoff? Nona Blomzoff. 18-year-old Australian girl, dead. Because she, see, rescuing injured animals is all that 18-year-old Australian Nona, what's her fucking, wanted to do. Instead, her best intentions led to her murder. What happened is this douchebag of a dude created a fake Facebook profile.
Yeah.
Saying that, you know, I work with animals in an animal sanctuary, and if you want the job, you have to come on the orientation camping trip.
Wow, nice.
Which is right up there with...
sign me up.
Which is right up there with, you know, vans with free candy spray painted on the side of them. Like, yeah, this totally sounds legit. Because when most people get hired to a job, they have to go to the camping trip initiation.
Jump in.
What the fuck? And I still find it disturbing that people still fall for this shit in this day and age. How long has the internet been around? How long have our parents been telling us? Dude, chat lines, chat rooms, hello, they're all fucking serial killers and rapists. You never meet them in real life. How many TV specials do we have to see? How many episodes of fucking Dateline do we have to see before we realize that nobody is who they say they are on the fucking internet? And unless you've known them for 20 years, don't go meet these fucking people. Are you insane?
I think you're talking to an 8-year-old boy. He's just saying hi to you, but where do you live?
Yeah, no shit. They're like, I'm a 14-year-old boy, too. And just like you're a 14-year-old girl, we should totally meet up at the mall. And, you know, so I can, you know, throw a ball gag in your mouth and chuck you in the back of my van. You can live in my basement for the next 20 years being my sex slave. What the fuck?
The classic picture of that girl in the... She's already in the trunk and she's going, there ain't no candy
in here. Yeah, there's no candy in here. Fuck, how many people have to die before we fucking realize that, oh... You got me again. There's no puppies in here. Damn you, rapist. How many times do we have to fucking hear about people getting killed before people just go, you know what, I'm just not going to meet anybody on the internet. How do I even know that that's my mom talking to me when she sends me a fucking email? Like, I get emails from people all the time because...
I kind of wondered about that.
I get emails from a lot of people that I know that have had their fucking email accounts hacked because they're too stupid to not get
porn
viruses.
Not be your mom, but it could be whoever she's living with who just happened to be in front of the computer at the minute.
Or somebody that's hacked her email address.
Hey, son, how you doing?
Yeah, or somebody that's hacked her email address.
I haven't been that far gone, but...
I got an email 2 days ago from a buddy of mine who fucking had his system fucking infiltrated by a virus. And they fucked all this shit up, and now I'm getting fucking emails from his email address. And they're sending me spam on how to get a bigger dick. And I thought it weird that my friend was sending me mail on how to get a bigger dick.
You ever write back to them and say, well, okay, forget about the big dick, how do you get a small pussy? That's what I really... One way or the other.
Yeah, why fucking people meet these people is fucking beyond me now. How many people have to die for us to go, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and not meet you.
Oh, yeah. Craigslist is great.
Oh, Jesus. Why people do that shit? I don't know. See, in other news, another funny fucking thing to talk about. Did you see that McDonald's commercial where they go through the drive-thru and they wrap their fucking order?
No.
It was all over YouTube.
Do all beef patty special sauce.
No, they make up their own fucking rap on how they want a number two with no fucking ketchup and all this fucking shit.
Number two with no ketchup.
Yeah, and they fucking rap it. Well, I guess these kids in Utah, which is a horrible place to try and have a fucking sense of humor in Salt Lake City.
Utah.
Yeah. Mormon country. They really don't have that's one of the reasons that I left the church. Because motherfuckers got no sense of humor. At all. A little too full of himself.
I don't know what you're talking about, brother.
Well, I guess they...
Brother.
My brother! I guess they went into a McDonald's in Salt Lake City and decided to recreate the wrapping order. The manager came out and was all pissed off and said, you're holding up the fucking line and blah, blah, blah. Well, not fucking, but, you know, you're holding up the line and blah, blah, blah. You're causing a disturbance and blah, blah, blah. And, they turn around and there's nobody in the store. It was empty. They weren't holding up anybody. And, you know, and the manager was just being a douche, and they were like, you know what, screw this, and they left without ordering. Well, the manager, wanting to be thorough with his douchebagginess, not to do a half-assed job of it, which, you know, I gotta admire that a little bit. If you're gonna be a douchebag, might as well follow through, you know, the whole nine yards. He takes down their vehicle information and calls the police. And they get cited for disorderly conduct. For jokingly wrapping their order.
Disorderly conduct.
Yes, they get charged with disorderly conduct. And they got cited. And so they went to court, and it was thrown out. They were found not guilty.
I don't know. I have been through a drive-through enough times in my life. I've seen just about everything. I would go there, and I would order, and I'd pull up, and I'd give them my money, and I'm thinking, they'll give me a tag, and they'll be giving me my drinks, but my food won't be ready, and they'll say, can you pull around to the front and park?
Yeah.
We'll bring it out to you. I'm like, all right. But then I look in the mirror, I'm going, well, why am I doing this? There's nobody behind me. What the fuck? This is bullshit. This is.
I've never had them do that when the.
I made him explain it to me. And he said, "Well, sir, the timer's going. The longer you're sitting here, I'm thinking, okay, well, I'm gonna play a fucking joke on these bastards. I'm gonna just fucking take off without my order." Yeah, my girlfriend doesn't think it's funny because I already paid.
Yeah, that's a bad idea. Yeah. No, man, they're fucking Nazi-like with drive-through times at fucking fast food places. You gotta keep your drive-through time down. You gotta keep your drive-through time down. Gotta keep it down, goddammit. And they'll fucking, like, they look at the drive-through times. You know what I'm saying? Like the managers will.
Yeah, what's that all about?
And they'll fucking, because they
time
want
is money.
They want people moving through. Moving
but there's
through,
nobody behind you.
Through.
Why do they tell you to?
Don't matter.
No, this is bullshit because they're going, okay, you know, it's on my shift and they're going to check all the time the cars have been in there. Sir, can you pull up forward? And sure, you know, there I go. What the fuck? There's no cars behind me. So it takes an extra fucking minute. Big fucking deal. Why can't they turn to their manager and go, hey, well, you know, this is the only car out there. There was nobody behind them.
Sometimes it don't matter,
15
man.
2 minutes.
Like, they get that fucking printout.
Pull up.
The other managers are like, why did it take 2 minutes for this car to go through drive-thru? Well, he was the only car in there and blah, 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 blue, 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 blue. They don't care.
Well, explain when they fucking go out there and can't find me parked out there because I took off. Fuck. Sitting across the street laughing. I'm over here!
Run my food over to me now, motherfucker!
Across the street.
But yeah, the McRappers got found not guilty for wrapping their order. I just find that fucking... You know what? That's why I can't stand that kind of fucking...
Not guilty's okay. I mean, what are they
guilty? Well, I can't stand that fucking... Really? You're going to fucking hassle these kids?
What was the last
Because they tried
did?
To play a harmless fucking prank?
What was the last harmless prank you played at the fast food?
Oh, when I went through the drive-thru?
Yeah.
I do a couple of them. My favorite one is to talk like Murder Face.
Okay, you pull up. Tell me what it sounds like. I'm over here. Or can I take your order, sir?
I'm going to try and back away from the mic because it might get pretty kind of like...
Sir, can I take your order?
Yes, I'll have a Sam number 6 with a Sprite, please.
Did you say number 6?
Yes, I said number 6. Can I super size with a Sprite, please? Thank you. Yeah, thanks a lot.
Sir, you're going to have to pull forward.
What do you mean pull forward? I just want a number 6 super size with a Sprite. Can you do that for me, please? Thank you. Thanks.
And then when you pull up to get your order, and they go, here's your order, sir. You go, hey, thanks a lot. That was really quick. Have a good day. And you pull off.
Did you say number 6?
Number 6, super size, with a Sprite, please.
You really
Thank
do this.
You.
This is real. You do this. You go up and order like that.
Next time I'm going to try and remember to set up a microphone and a recorder in my fucking truck next time I do this so we can put it on the podcast. It's one of my favorite things to do. You know,
they're getting used to it.
You know, crack it.
Oh, it's this guy again. What if it's somebody who's a Murderface fan? They would be in there going, hey, dudes, come here, check this out. Murderface
is in the drive thru.
Sir, can you tell me that order one more time?
Object all you want. We'll make sure we ain't any bigger, douchebag.
I wonder how loud the spikes were on that. Holy crap. That's probably going to sound all fuzzy and whatnot. I love drive-thru pranks. They're the best. And here's another one kind of hit close to home, man. Waitress fired for griping about her tip on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Charlotte, North Carolina. Waitress is out of a job after griping on her Facebook page about the $5 tip she got from a couple who sat at their table for 3 hours. The waitress said the customers kept her at work an hour after she was supposed to clock out. The Charlotte Observer reported Monday that 22-year-old Ashley Johnson felt slighted after waiting on the couple at Brick's Pizza. She blasted the couple on Facebook, calling them cheap and mentioning the restaurant by name. Ouch.
$5 tip?
Yeah, Brick's officials told Johnson a couple days later that she was being fired because she violated the company policy banning workers from speaking disparagingly about customers and casting the restaurant in a bad light on a social network. Now, here's my question. Was that presented to her in writing at the beginning of her employment? Or at some point during her employment? Like, did they go, okay, and here's our no shit talking on the internet policy for you to sign?
No, I think you've got the patent on that. I think you got something.
Well, the thing is, if you don't present your employees with a okay, here's the no shit talking on the internet policy, I want you to read it, sign it, and turn it in. You can't just make up fucking rules.
These days companies need to do this.
Yeah, you can't just make up fucking rules when employees do something you don't like. You can't just go, well, he did that and I don't like that and I don't think it's right, so we're just gonna fire him and make up the rule now. No, what you need to do is you need to go, dude, that wasn't right, but because we don't have anything in place, we can't do anything at this moment. But from this point forward, because of you, we now have a no shit talking on the internet policy. Sign this. If you do it again, then you're fired.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know, if you signed a no shit talking on the internet policy and then went and talked shit on the internet, well, then you're a fucking moron and you deserve to be fired.
It's in the small print.
Yeah, at the bottom. Fine print. No shit talking on Facebook, you fucking bastard.
Have you ever seen the contracts that movie stars have to sign and stuff? They're like books
and non-disclosure stuff. And fucking this, that, and the other thing, and likeness rights, and
when they're
blah,
talking
blah.
About millions of dollars and stuff, and they're signing books.
That's why they have fucking lawyers. That's why they have fucking lawyers, because it's their job to read that shit and go, no, you don't want to sign this, or yes, go ahead and sign this. Another one that's got me all kinds of pissed off, okay? Mississippi College bars students from cursing or swearing outside of class.
You mean like outside of the door?
Like out when class is out and they go, okay, you're done for the day, leave. And they leave.
At home?
No, not at home. On campus, but outside of class. Like in between classes or break periods. Or if you just, you know, go onto campus, it's not a class, but you need to pick up a book or something.
You can't go, you can't be looking at the paperwork on the wall and go, fuck, I got another fucking F.
Yeah, see, that's what happened. It says, Jackson, Mississippi, May 18th, Mississippi's largest community college unconstitutionally bans cursing and vulgarity and has barred a student from a course for swearing outside of class. Now, I can see if it's the middle of class.
No, I've done it before. I mean,
if like you're in the middle, like the teacher's like, and 12 plus 2 is 14, and if you're round to the nearest integer, and fuck, what was that again? Okay, I can see that one. Then you're disrupting class and being a nuisance and blah, blah, blah. But this dude, check this out. Swearing outside of class. After Hines Community College student Isaac Rosenblum was forbidden to return from class and given 12 demerits, he turned to the Foundation for Individual Rights in Education for help. It's quite absurd.
Edumacation.
Sorry about that. Shut up. It's quite absurd that a college has decided that a 29-year-old man who uses a four-letter word out of frustration after a class should be officially punished.
Was it shit?
Said the FIRE, which is the acronym for the Foundation for Individual Rights in Education. FIRE for short. Said FIRE Vice President Robert Shilby. College students don't lose their free speech rights when they arrive on campus. Aren't college campuses like
free adult
the bastions of free speech? Isn't that like where people are supposed to be doing that? Like fucking
yeah, you should have fought it.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that where free speech happens the most? Is college, man? Let me see. College students don't lose their free speech rights when they arrive on campus. Will Hines be sending its students to bed without supper next? Ooh, zing. On March 29th, 2010, after their oral communication class, instructor Barbara Pyle and a few students stayed after class to discuss the students' grades. At one point, Rosenblum said that his grades were going to fuck up my entire GPA. See, I can use the F word on here. So that's what he said. He was just like, shit, this is going to fuck up my GPA. You know? It's not like you stood up in the middle of class and went, fuck!
There goes financial aid.
Yeah.
Might as well.
According to Rosenblum's account in a recording of his April 6th hearing, Pyle began to yell at him that his language was unacceptable and that she was giving him detention, quote-unquote. Can you do that in college?
Detention?
Do you get detention in fucking college? Jeez. I don't think so. You're a grown-ass adult who's paying to be there. Either you don't get detention, they just tell you, get out of my classroom.
Yeah. I would take detention if they said they would improve my grade. If it had anything to do with my grade.
I would take a detention if the teacher was hot and had fucking, like, Barry White playing. Be like, son, you need to stay after class.
Yes, ma'am.
Fucking
yes,
hey.
Ma'am.
Fucking, give him detention. Yeah, Rosenblum implied that detention was not, he told her, detention is not a punishment, an acceptable punishment at HHC, the college. Oh, man, I'm losing my place. And Pyle told him that she was sending him to the dean. Pyle then submitted a disciplinary comment against Rosenblum, stating that this language was not to be tolerated and he could not say that under any circumstances in the presence of other students. So she didn't like the F-bomb and she was making a big deal about it.
Is this a church college?
No, it's a community college. I could see if it was like, you know, Our Lady of the Iron Cross or whatever the fuck college. Rosenblum was charged with flagrant disrespect on March 31st and was found responsible for the offense. He received 12 demerits, 3 short of a suspension, and was excluded from Pyle's course. A copy of this decision was also placed in his permanent file. Rosenblum appealed the decision, but his appeal was denied. He is awaiting the results of his final appeal to the HCC president, Clyde Muse. Fire wrote News on 27th, pointing out HCC's. I don't know why I keep saying HHC. HCC's. Once again, HCC is for Hines Community College. Policies are facially unconstitutional, and that they were also applied unconstitutionally to punish Rosenblum for his protected speech outside of class. So, on this campus, if you're outside of class, and you're like, wow, that was an awesome fucking burrito, and you're within earshot of a narc, they will fucking ding you. You can get fined $25, and if you protest, they will charge you with, cite you with flagrant disrespect. You know what? If I had the money to take a week off of my job and drive to fucking Mississippi, if somebody, you know what? If somebody out there that listens to this would like to finance this fucking road trip, I will take a week, 2-3 days off my job a week. We will drive out to fucking Mississippi and hold a fuck in at Hines Community College, where we just stand outside of campus and shit, just piss, chant, fuck, shit, fuck, fuck,
shit, piss, fuck, cocksuck, motherfucker, this pussy in ass, shit, piss, fuck, cocksuck.
Yeah, just constantly. And if George Carlin were still alive, he would burn that place to the fucking ground. I'm sorry, this kind of shit pisses me off. Are we playing George Carlin?
Yeah.
7 words you can't say on TV?
Yes.
Which isn't true anymore, because I keep hearing shit on TV quite a bit. That is the new N-word, is bullshit.
The new N-word?
The new N, not the new N-word. The new N-word is fucking shit on late-night TV. Because now
so they can't say it.
There are some stations that on late night TV you can say shit.
After 11 o'clock.
Yeah. And boy, god damn it, do they fucking do it.
Nice.
I mean, to the point where it's like, all right, guys, we get it. You can say shit now. You don't have to say it every 4 words.
Shit's one of those universal words.
Really? Like, fuck. It's a verb. It's an adjective. It's an adverb. It's used for anything. It can describe emotion.
Put shit and fuck together. How about that?
Shit fuck. I got a shirt that says
going back in time where some comedian's going to finally... George Carlin's kids going to come back?
Does George Carlin have kids?
I don't know.
I would love to meet George Carlin's kids. I think we're all George Carlin's kids. All of us that were set free by Carlin's comedy. And that whole fucking 7 words you can't say. I think we're all... That's the legacy he left behind. We're all Carlin's kids. All of us twisted, fucking weirdo, goddamn semi-comedic fucks. We're all Carlin's kids. Yeah. Cars, but no, this, I swear to God, if I had the fucking money, I would buy a short bus and drive it out to fucking Mississippi with as many motherfuckers as I could get on there and hold a fuck in. I would. Just to show them self-righteous, unconstitutional fuck faces what the fuck it fuck-ass fucking means to fucking be a fucking fuck American and say wherever the fuck balls fuck you fucking please.
And you got,
you
got the bullhorn. Fuck, 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 fuck.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
24 hours a day.
Fuck no, we won't fucking go. Fuck no, we won't fucking go. Fuck, 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 fuck. Fuck, 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 fuck. Fuck shit, ass fuck, 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 fuck. 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 We need some fuck cheerleaders.
With no
from
panties.
FU University with a big FU on their chest.
With no panties on.
Yeah, and just fucking stand up and make a pyramid and, you know. We like fucking. Yes, we do. Right. We like fucking, you know, just not you. No, this shit just I saw that shit on TV and then I did some more digging about it. This shit just pisses me off, man. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because I'm a podcaster, or I'm really into free speech, or I'm just a fucking American. This shit pisses me off. And the fact that they're allowed to get a fuck away from it, or get away with it, without the entire student body raising up and being like, really? We can't say shit, piss, ass, fuck, bitch, tick, cunt, fucker on campus? Well, you know what? Our tuition pays your fucking salary. We're out of here, asshole. We're going to another fucking college. Suck my dick. By the way, fuck, fuck, fuck. Cite me for that, you cocksucker. Somebody should start their own fucking community college down the street and tout it as the college where fuck is welcome. That's what I'm talking about. Come to Mike's Community College where fuck is your friend. Fuck yes. Have a course called Introduction to Fuck.
Fuck 101.
And just, you know, like, fuck those guys, man. Seriously. Fuck that bitch that fucking turned him in. What the fuck was that bitch's name? No, she's going on my hate list. Barbara Pyle. Fuck you, Barbara, and your husband, Gomer. Fuck you.
You know, I do agree. There are certain times where it's inappropriate to cuss.
Correct.
And
but it's a matter of opinion and taste. You know what I'm saying?
But it would also be funny to be
sitting
there.
But you can't regulate that kind of shit. You can't make you can't make fucking verbal police that dictate when it's appropriate for you to say what.
Is it appropriate at a funeral?
It depends on the context.
This is fucking Mike here, and fuck, Mike had a fucking good fucking life.
Yeah, it depends on the context. It depends on the setting. Like, there's a bunch of kids there, and people don't know that it's going to be that type of atmosphere. You might want to let them know that, you know. Like, recently, I went to a thing where they let people know, there's going to be cussing here. We've got a PA system, and there's going to be foul language.
Okay, yeah.
So you probably don't want to bring your kids.
I do tell my son, though. This is one thing I have with my son. I tell him, you hear me cuss once in a while when I'm talking to mom, or my friends, especially with my friends. Cussing is bad, but for me to cuss doesn't mean make me a bad man. I don't do drugs. I don't drink.
No.
I don't smoke. Well, I do smoke, but I don't smoke in front of him.
Yeah.
And cussing, I have to get this point to him. It's not good for him to do in school, and he knows that. He knows he can get in trouble. But
there's a time and a place for it. There really is.
The dad, you know, likes to cuss, boy. Oh,
so do I. Oh, Jesus, am I a big fan of fuck.
It's fucking funny. It's just fucking funny. I don't know what it is.
That's the thing. I was talking to my dad the other day about
shit happens.
Fuck is no more is only as offensive as people make it to be. Fuck is no different from hello. It's just a fucking word.
Yeah, if I see a pretty girl, it's like, fuck.
Yeah, fuck. It's just a word.
What'd you say?
The only thing that makes it bad is the negative connotation that society puts on it. That's the only thing that makes it a bad word. House could be a fucking bad word if all of a sudden everybody came to believe that the word house represented something morally despicable. And then all of a sudden, like, if all of a sudden there was no stigma on the word fuck or shit or piss or ass or
pussy.
It's gonna
go away.
Yeah, people won't use it as much because there's no stigma to it.
This is part of my psychology with my son. The cussing is out there. It's out there in the whole world.
Yeah.
And to hear other people on the street cuss and get mad and start cussing, I don't want them to get freaked out by that shit. I want him to sit there and look and say, well, that's about as stupid as my dad sitting there cussing about cutting his finger off when he's making a sandwich or something. You know?
Yeah. It's
funny and it's stupid, but I don't make no big deal out of it.
When it comes to cussing, I try to be aware of my surroundings. Like, if there's kids around, I'll watch my mouth. You know what I'm saying? Because there's kids, or like there's old people around. It's a matter of respect. You know what I'm saying? I try to curb it a little bit.
But college people in college.
But if you're in college, Jesus Christ, it's college.
Free speech.
Aren't you supposed to cut loose a little bit in college? You're finally away from the family, if you're lucky. You know, and you're free and on your own. I mean, Jesus. Everybody goes a little bit fucking psycho in college. And for them to just be like, that's not allowed at college. Mm. Something stupid like that.
Yeah, let's not even teach the sex education.
Yeah, of all the stupid fucking issues we have. How many great books have swear words in them? Are you not allowed to read those at that college because it's in poor taste? Who deems what is acceptable in public? That's what I hate. When you get to the fucking thought police and the speech police and the, you know, we've been dubbed, you know, what's in poor taste police. And it's our job to make sure that you don't say or do anything that falls under the category of in poor taste. Well, who the fuck makes up that list? And fuck them.
This is fucking stupid.
Well, that, you know.
Get on the fucking bus.
That's the shit that gets me fucking fired up. Like, and if I lived anywhere near Mississippi, my ass would be down there making a goddamn scene. Because, you know what, I'm not affiliated with that fucking school. Give me all the demerits you want, suspend me all the fuck you want. I don't give a shit. I will loudly protest, fuck you, you fucking fuck.
Alright, someone's going to send you a ticket and you're going back.
Fuck yeah, dude, if I could get the time off of work and get out to Mississippi, and I would organize a fucking... And I'm telling you, anybody around here that is, anybody that listens to this, if you're anywhere near Mississippi and you have the ability
to purchase a short bus and a ticket.
Well, to go there and do it yourself. If you have the time and the money and you're near fucking Mississippi, Hitler Community College. That's what I'm going to start calling it now. It's now Mississippi's fucking Heinrich Himmler Community College. It's Nazi Community College. That's what... Man, I'm starting to sound like Glenn Beck. Jesus,
hey, is it supposed to,
Christ.
Are you not supposed to cuss in the Army? You're supposed to have some sort of...
It's supposed to be some sort of decorum. Once again,
I mean, I can see, okay, not cussing in front of your subordinate and somebody who has more... stripes than you, or
your subordinate would be under you. You're talking about you're like your commanding officers.
Yeah,
like if you're a grunt, showing a little respect to your officers and not.
But everybody that's equal with you, you'd think, sure, this is fucked up. Be sitting here in Iran.
I'm pretty sure a bunch of grunts sitting around in fucking Iraq are fucking it up because it's a fucking fucked up place to be, and it's probably fucking hotter than fucking fuck. And does that guy have a fucking AK fucking seven?
Big fucking spider over there, Jesus. Fucking Christ.
Yeah. And that's it. I swear to God, anybody out there in Mississippi or anybody close to Mississippi, if you fucking listen to this and you have the ability to go to this college, please, please, please send me your email address and I will send you a fucking letter that you can hand deliver to this, to the dean and to this Barbara Pyle bitch at fucking Heinrich Himmler Community College. That's the new name of it. Himmler Community College, you Nazi douchebag fucks. Send me your email address so I can send me an email so I can email you back with a fucking letter you can hand deliver to these assholes from Mike Casey at Taking the Short Bus. You can kiss my fucking ass and suck my fucking fuck ass fuck dick. You fuck bitches. Speaking of Nazis.
For all you people out there who smoke the marijuana, the Mary Jane.
I was just giving my dad shit the other day for saying that. Smoking, CJ smoking the marijuana. Smoking the what? Jesus fucking Christ, really? Are you on the pot? Are you toking the reefer?
Oh, Jesus.
Anyway,
so what does 420 stand for, really?
You know what? I'm going to look that up on the fucking internet right now.
I'm not joking with you. In fact, have you ever seen the movie Pulp Fiction?
Yes.
Have you noticed that in every scene that there's a clock, it was set on 420?
Was it?
Yes. Every scene that had a clock.
No shit, really?
If you look. Well, only people who smoke the pot would know that, though.
The origins of 420. What does 420 mean?
It's Hitler's birthday. That's right.
What you were telling me that...
Hitler's birthday.
I had always heard that's how many chemicals... That's the chemical composition...
I think there's 500...
Of fucking, what, THC or some shit?
I also heard it was a police call for, we got a 420 over here. Yeah, he's toking it up.
Yeah. Okay, I got... I just pulled up a thing. What is this? Concept420.com. What is 420? What does it mean? Okay, we're going to... This
the
probably,
perfect time of day to go ahead and join.
This probably isn't...
Get off of work.
The fucking definitive source, but I'm going to go with this one. What does 420 mean? There are varying theories on the origin of 420. Some say that 420 originated from a police code that announces marijuana use is taking place. Yet another story is that a group of guys in the 1970s made 420 their official meeting time to smoke marijuana after school. Whether or not 420 p.m. is the best time of day to take your first hit depends on your own body and your own needs. Some folks feel that waiting until 420 enhances one's appreciation of the herb. Of course, your mileage may vary. In the 21st century, 420 is firmly established as a code amongst tokers, a time of day, and even sort of new toker's New Year's Day. It's in our culture now, and only time will tell where it ends up.
420, that's a Columbine. That's when that happened. From time.
See, insignificant.
We are experiencing operating difficulties. Please stand by. We are experiencing operating difficulties. Please stand by.
Okay, now we're recording again. There we go. Now we're back. Sorry about that, folks. We had some fucking technical fucking difficulties. Apparently the laptop gods didn't want us talking about weed or some shit because we lost a bunch. We lost about 20 minutes.
420.
20 minutes of our 420 thing. But now, like we were saying, we didn't know what the meaning of fucking 420 was. And Donald had brought up the other day at work that it was Hitler's birthday. Yeah. And just crushed somebody that we know that's a pot smoker. Like, ruined weed for him. Because Donald was like, you know it's Hitler's birthday, right? 420. And fucking, you could see on his face disappointment.
Aren't you? You're joking.
Fuck, really? So, good job. You fucking ruined weed for a poor stoner. Now every time he smokes up, he's going to feel like he personally killed all those Jews.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Good job. But no, I found a site on here. I just typed in what is the meaning of 420, and I went with the first fucking site I could find.
By the way, we would like to hear what everybody else thinks what 420 means, because I'm sure there's some good ideas.
What does 420 mean to you if you're a pot smoker? What does it personally mean?
Even if you're
not
a pot smoker, what does it mean? Nothing?
Send it in, mailroommafia@gmail.com, even though nobody ever sends us. Send us email for anything, saying what's up, if you want to tell us a fucking... story of short-bussedness, people being fucking stupid, just email us. We like email. Or if you want to hate on us, that'd be awesome. Send us fucking hate mail. We still haven't gotten any. If you get a chance, go to the fucking the iTunes and give us a fucking review. Because the more reviews we get, the higher up in the fucking list we move, and the more we can fucking, you know, promote this shit. We'd like to get more people out there. Got to get listening. But anyway, so I went to the interwebs. I typed in, what does 420 mean? And I went looking for... I just clicked on the first one I found, because that's how I do research. I don't actually read into stuff. I just click on the first link that's available. So it is concept420.com what is 420? What does 420 mean? There are varying theories of the origins of 420. Some say that 420 originated from a police code that announces marijuana use is taking place. Yet another story is that a group of guys, it says Waldos... in parentheses, I don't know what Waldos are, in the 1970s made 420 as the time, 420. Their official meeting time to smoke marijuana after school.
Where's Waldo?
He's smoking weed. That's where Waldo is. Whether or not 420 p.m. is the best time of day for your first hit depends on your own body, your own needs. Some folks feel that waiting until 420 enhances one's appreciation of the herb. Of course, your mileage may vary.
In the 21st century, 420 is firmly established as code amongst tokers, a time of day, and even sort of tokers' New Year's Day. It's in our culture now, and only time will tell where it ends up. April 20th, it is the date rather than the time, is another usage, meaning that it's time, for to plant before the summer. I think the person that wrote this was fucking stoned.
For to plant.
It's
time to get your seeds going and your plants going for the summer, so they'll, I guess, harvest time is around September.
Okay, so, April 20th would be a good planting day.
To get the biggest plants, probably.
Okay, that makes a little bit of sense.
I mean, if you wait till the middle, you're going to get, middle of summer, you're going to get little plants, but who cares? You get some, right?
Whatever the real story is, 420 has been an important part of the marijuana culture since the 1970s. The significance of 420 has been kept underground and is mostly known only among marijuana smokers. Many non-smokers aren't aware of the symbolism when they see someone wearing a t-shirt or baseball cap that says 420 across the front. Really? Is there somebody nowadays that doesn't know what 420 means?
Yeah, my dad, but he's 80 years old.
Okay.
I had to explain it to him the other day.
When the 420 icon is somehow discreetly worked into a mainstream product like a film, marijuana users take notice. The film Pulp Fiction is rumored to have had all the clocks throughout this movie set to 420. Marijuana smokers familiar with the symbol picked up on it. Most people, however, did not. While marijuana smokers are using 420 as a code that enables them to openly speak about marijuana in front of parents or teachers, 420 has been to some a sacred symbol for nearly 30 years. Well, there's a fire truck going by. I don't know if you can hear that in the background. Apparently something awful is happening. Have we set off the fire alarms?
Not recently.
Not recent. Not in the last, week or so.
No, that was a drill by the company. So.
Simply put, 420 is a symbol of cannabis and its culture. Today, April 20th, events are international, and 4:20 p.m. has become a sort of worldwide burn time, quote unquote. Known 4:20 myths. Police dispatch code for smoking pot is 4:20. The number 4:20 is not police code for anything, anywhere. Checks of criminal code suggest that the origin is neither California nor federal. For instance, California Penal Code 4:20 defines as California Penal Code 4:20. Is defined as a misdemeanor or hindrance of use of public lands. Man, the person that wrote this was fucking baked. Jesus Christ. Maybe you shouldn't type while stoned. There are approximately 420 active chemicals in marijuana, which that's what I thought 420 stood for, that with the number of active chemicals in marijuana, or THC, the active component in marijuana that gets you high. Actually, there are approximately 315 actual chemicals in marijuana. This number goes up and down depending on which plant is used. April 20th is National Pot Smokers Day. Well, it is now, but it wasn't originally. April 20th is Hitler's birthday. That's the one you used to ruin our poor pot smoker in question. Yes, it is his birthday, but as 420 started out as a time and not a date, his birthday had nothing to do with it. The date of the Columbine school shootings. This happened after the term was already in use. The term started being used in the 70s. 4:20 is tea time for pot smokers in Holland. Tea time in Holland, is it 5:30 p.m. or is it at 2:30 p.m.? Seems no one is quite sure when the wonderful people of Holland drink their tea. So we don't know what it is per se, but we know what it's not.
No, so anything you write to us and send to us, we will believe. And
because it could be.
And it is. But what is it, what relation is it to Aquaman?
What relation is it to Aquaman?
Yeah, smoke some of this Aquaman.
Oh, the Stark Tunes? Actually, which is awesome because anybody who listens to this podcast knows that I listen to Kevin Smith's podcast, Smodcast. Well, they did a couple of really great episodes. Well, they've got like over 118 episodes at last count. And so they've hired a guy, I know his name is Stark. I'll just call him Tony. Fuck it. So they've hired this dude that, does Stark Tunes animation. And for fun, he took a couple of their Smodcast episodes and animated them. The first one was, I believe it was the inaugural episode of Smodcast. He took bits and pieces of it and animated it, and it was fucking hilarious. And then he did another Smodcast in which they talked about aquatic justice and Aquaman and getting high with Aquaman under the waves, and it was fucking hilarious because Kevin Smith recently quit smoking by taking up smoking pot, which works for me. But the good news is they've got a sponsor for Smodcast now. Smodcast has now has a sponsor, the Fleshlight, which is fucking hilarious. They actually sent Kevin Smith a box of them, too.
Wow.
Yeah, which is fucking great.
Will they sponsor us?
I wish. I'd love to get a box of Fleshlights.
They come in different sizes
and different shapes, sizes, colors. Like, fucking, like...
Well, yeah, the shapes are the, either lips...
They've got, like, pussies, asses, and mouths.
Anything else? Armpits?
No armpits, no. But,
damn.
Since, and Kevin Smith never wanted Smodcast to be... He never wanted his podcast to be like a money-making venture because then, like, there'd be too much work involved in it, like declaring taxes and blah, blah, blah,
yeah.
And all this bullshit. So when they offered to sponsor the Smodcast, he only wanted enough money to pay Ken Plume, which is the guy that does all their all the music.
Nice.
They record the Smodcast, and Kevin Smith does a little bit of editing because they record, like, for 2 hours. And then Kevin Smith goes through it and cuts out parts and just leaves the really funny, funny stuff. And then
we should try that sometime.
Yeah,
we might only have 15 seconds of
yeah, no shit, actual comedy, just us going shit, piss. So I was in the bathroom, and then fuck, shot, shit. Balls, and then end of
shit. Shit.
But when Kevin Smith's done editing it, editing the content, they shoot it over to Kevin's or Ken Plume, and Ken Plume is like their DJ. He pretty much he adds the music to it, and he was doing it. They were paying him.
Well, who did the cartoon comedy part?
That was this guy that does StarTunes. But so when they got the sponsor, they said we'd really like the only money we'd like is just enough money to pay Ken Plume for doing all the DJing and whatnot, and to pay for server
really
space.
Makes a big difference. Then.
Yeah, and to pay for server space because it costs money to host that stuff on a server or your own server. So, and then enough money to pay the guy at StarTunes to do a new Smodcast cartoon the first Monday of every month.
All right.
So, and it's available on YouTube. Just look up Smodtunes. It's on smodcast.com. You can go there and check it out. And they're going to be doing a new one every month. They've got three right now. They've got the inaugural episode of Smodcast where they talk about Wayne Gretzky and whatnot. The one where the guy had put the underwear at the center point on the ice. You remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
and then the next one was Aquatic Justice with them getting fucking stoned and talking to Aquaman. And then the new one they just did, it's a two-parter. They animated the first part of the Forgeticus episode. Yeah, dude. Oh, Jesus, it's hilarious. Go to smodcast.com. Check out the Smodtunes. Forgeticus. Yeah, dude. Fucking great, dude. Check out StarTunes. I believe it's StarTunes.com you can go to and check out all of his cartoons. Fucking hilarious. He's got a YouTube channel. You can go there and look at it. It's fucking awesome. I love promoting podcasts and stuff on our podcast.
All right.
Like,
how about book reviews?
Book reviews. I've just finished Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Oh, you finished it?
Finished it. Great fucking book. Great fucking book. Written like it was a historical document. Fucking, like... They like really accurate too. They like cite reference and there's pictures in it too, like where you like circles like figure 18, picture 12. You can clearly see the skull next to the newly freed African American slave. And they zoom in, like there's a little cutout zoom in on the skull. The fangs are clearly visible.
Wow.
Blah 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 blah. Yeah, and it's fucking like really in depth, man. It's not like a comedy. It's fucking like hardcore. And they take real historical events from Abraham Lincoln's life and fucking weave it into this fucking tale of him being a vampire hunter and becoming president. And it's fucking amazing.
So this this author is going to make new books.
Probably. Hopefully he writes more. Yeah, he did Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, and that was a really good book. Because I really wasn't fond of Pride and Prejudice. But I love zombies. And then he did Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. I need to look up and see if he's... I don't think he's done any more. But I really hope he does. I really like his writing style. And then next I'm reading the last two, or two of the last three books in the Dune series.
Dune.
Yes, they're finally. I'm finally going to finish it out, because Frank Herbert wrote the original six Dune books, and then his son and another guy, Kevin J. Anderson, wrote a six-book prequel leading up to the Dune series. And then a couple years back, he got a call from a bank in, I believe it was Spokane, Washington, said, "Your dad's had a couple of safe deposit boxes here. Would you like them? He's been dead for years." So he went up there and he found notes and text and manuscripts and stuff, like a hidden cache of work that Frank Herbert had done trying to finish out his original Dune series, because his last book, he kind of left the characters hanging. Like, the last book, the main characters were flying off into unknown space. And that's where it left off years and years and years ago, and there was never really an end to it. It just kind of like, and they ran away, you know? Never what happened to them after that. So he had ideas on what happened to them after that, so he fucking jotted down all his possible ideas and this notes and fucking some actually fully written stuff that he was thinking about and blah, blah, blah. And he ended up not writing it, so years later his son got a hold of it, called up that guy Kevin J. Anderson again, who's a really good sci-fi author, and they finished it. So the Dune books are officially... The whole series is officially done, start to end.
Dune is frequently cited as the world's best-selling science fiction novel.
Yes. I've read it multiple times. I fucking love Dune. I don't know how I feel about the movies. The original movie I love, just for pure nostalgia. It's not the greatest movie ever. It's kind of campy.
Some movies ruin books.
Yeah, it's kind of campy, and it's a little long-winded. But I like it at a pure nostalgic outlook on it. You know what I mean? It was my first encounter with Dune. I saw the movie, and then I went, wow, that's fucking awesome. Oh, it was based on a book. Let me get my hands on the book. You know what I'm saying? So I appreciate the original movie from a nostalgic standpoint. And then they did remakes of it on for sci-fi. They're like made-for-TV movies. In which like they did Dune, and then Children of Dune. And those fucking books actually incorporated more than, because it was like Dune incorporated all of Dune and then some of Children of Dune, and then the movie Children of Dune incorporated most of Children of Dune's story and then some of like Dune Messiah and stuff like that. And I think to make the entire series would be a huge fucking undertaking. I don't think we'd ever get it done. It's not like, you know, Lord of the Rings, where there's three movies, ends the story, blah blah blah. The Dune series, when you look at it as a whole, all, see, 6, 12, 14 books, wow. The fucking timeline, you know how you look at series of books and like the Harry Potter, all 6 books, you look at it and you're like, or 7 books, I think it's 7 books, you look at it and you're like, okay, it's a year, you know, 2 years, you know, there's a progressive timeline, and you know, it's all in this course of Harry Potter's life, or you know, a chunk of Harry Potter's life. Dune, the entirety of the fucking timeline spans millennia. I mean, it's a massive undertaking for a fucking novel. It spans fucking millennia. Thousands of years. I mean, thousands upon thousands upon thousands.
So it's based upon family heritage.
Yeah, it starts out with, you know, the original three families. Well, it starts out with backstory on anybody that's ever seen Dune. They know you hear about the Butlerian Jihad and the Machine Crusade, and they have the Mentats that are fucking people that have brains like supercomputers, because computers are not allowed. The law of the Butlerian Jihad is you shall never make a machine in the likeness of a man. And what it does is it doesn't really explain why. It just says this is the fucking rule: you don't make a machine in the likeness of a man. So you can't make computers. Computers are illegal. You know, thinking machines are illegal. So they've trained specific people throughout the years to be human supercomputers. And they drink this special juice. And you can always tell a Mentat because their fucking lips are stained red from this fucking special juice that allows their mind to fucking... You know, they're taking fucking LSD and going on wild fucking math trips.
Speaking of lips, can I just say one thing? Just kind of throw it in here. There's 420 shades of red lipstick. Did you know that?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, back to Dune. So, and it deals with planets too, right?
Yeah, it spans the whole galaxy. Arrakis.
Arrakis and Dune. Caladan.
Caladan, yes. Caladan is the let's see how well I know my nerd trivia here. Okay. Caladan is the Atreides' home world. It's an ocean planet, lush and green. That's where the Atreides originally ruled
Atreides.
Okay. The Harkonnen family came from Giedi Prime.
Giedi Prime. Yeah.
Yes, they were from the Giedi system. Home of the Harkonnens.
Harkonnen.
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 Baron Vladimir Harkonnen. And yes, they came from Giedi Prime, and they both the Harkonnen family used to. It's really set up like a medieval fiefdom. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's ruling families, and it's really, like, feudal.
And there's spaceships in this movie to go from planet to planet?
Well, they're not really spaceships. What they are is
Time travel?
No, it's not time travel. What it is it's... okay, so the Atreides family rules from the planet Caladan. The Harkonnen family rules from the planet Giedi Prime. Does it say on there where the Imperial planet is? What the...
Kaitanyan... Something like that. K-A-I-T-A-I-N. Kaitan.
Wow, that doesn't really sound familiar.
Home of the Empires.
Home of the Emperor. Yeah, the Carino family. Carino, however you pronounce it. Yeah. Carano, some shit like that.
That was the name of the planet, I think. Kaitan, I think.
Something like that, yeah. Well, what it is the Harkonnens are originally in charge of... They have a fiefdom on the planet Arrakis, Dune. Okay, it's a giant desert planet, basically like Tatooine from Star Wars.
Okay, but I was asking about the how do they interplanet travel?
Well, let me get to that. The special thing about Dune, the planet Dune, is it produces the only planet in the galaxy that produces the spice melange. Now, the spice melange is a drug. Ooh. Well, use it for everything. It's in food. It's in drink. Yeah, it's a spice.
It's like pot, marijuana.
Yeah, but it's also a drug. Okay.
It's the 420th planet to the left.
Yeah, 420th planet to the left is the planet Dune. Arrakis, okay. Desert planet.
Oh, that's the name of the planet Dune is Arrakis?
Yes, they call it Dune because it's just one big desert, but the actual name of the planet is Arrakis.
Okay.
So Arrakis is the only planet in the galaxy that produces the spice melange. Now, the spice melange, not only being a drug that alters your perception, it allows the navigators of the Spice Guild to navigate basically space-time. Okay, basically they're these giant. They used to be human, but they're not anymore. They've been exposed to so much spice that they've become like these giant fucking weird-looking things that just float in a giant tank full of spice gas.
Wow!
And it alters their perception to the point where they can bend space-time.
Folds it.
Yes. So what they do is instead of having ships with propulsion, like interstellar drive that would allow you to go from one star system to the next within a galaxy. They actually fold space. It's just like a giant cargo container floating in space, in the just outside the in the orbit of the planet. They fold space. You know, 1 minute you're in orbit of Caladan, they fold space. The next second you're in orbit around Arrakis.
Which has got to be the best way to travel.
Yes, instantaneous.
Distance.
Yeah, no fuel required. All you have to do is have life support.
Spice
on the ship. And yeah, and
life support.
Oxygen.
Right?
Yeah, you have to have life support on the ship. And then the shit, it just fucking instantaneously goes from point A to point B.
Well, that's not wasting any time then.
So no, near instantaneous travel from one place to another.
Now, if I could just figure out how to get to work like that.
Now, if I could just figure out how to get from the bathroom, from my bed to the bathroom, from the bathroom to my computer room to the kitchen, then back to the computer room again. Like Nightcrawler from fucking X-Men. Just fucking bamf, bamf, bamf. Bamf! Teleporting all around the house, grabbing sandwiches. And
teleporting, that's what kind of going through a bend in space and time.
Yeah,
like
basically that, the basic teleportation.
It takes minutes, huh?
Seconds. Nanoseconds.
Wow.
Yeah, just near instantaneous travel.
Is this some sort of thing that Einstein came up with a theory?
What, the Einstein-Rosen bridge? Wormhole travel?
Is it a wormhole?
Folding space-time, technically, I don't believe is a wormhole. See, we're getting into the realm of astrophysics here, and fucking, yeah, I work in a mailroom. But, I don't believe a folding space is the same concept as a wormhole. I think a wormhole does...
It's going through...
Does it fold... No, a wormhole is a passage through subspace. A subspace allows you to travel faster than light, so it's near instantaneous travel. Folding space is where you actually fold space-time to where two points two different points in space almost simultaneously inhabit the same area. They can't completely simultaneously inhabit the same area because matter cannot occupy the same space simultaneously. It's impossible. So there, it brings basically brings the two points. It's like taking a piece of paper and folding it. Whereas they're right, the ends are right next to each other. They're not in the same exact place. And then you can just pass using normal propulsion, just pass from one spot to the next, and then space unfolds, and you're at point
and
B.
And it takes a fuel to do this, right?
Well, I guess you could use normal, like, solid fuel, liquid
spice,
fuel.
Spice, but they're using a...
they use the navigators use spice to bend space-time. And then you could, I guess you could just use normal rocket propulsion just to move you across the threshold just a little bit.
Don't need that much fuel.
Yeah, no, just a quick burst, and then boom, and then they unfold space, and then you've traveled thousands of light years.
So what happens to everybody else that's in this space in between when that happens? Do they feel that?
Well, see,
is there like a glitch in time or anything?
No. See, well, I don't know.
You can just look at each other and go, hey, someone just folded space.
See, I don't know because, you know, theoretically it's impossible, so I guess we'll never know. But there's actually, to reference another movie, we're really geeking out here. It's an extra 23 minutes we've been talking about this. To reference another movie, Event Horizon, have you seen that?
Parts.
Yeah. That movie is about a ship that also has a gravity drive. That gravity drive allows it to bend space-time and fold space, allowing it to cross the event horizon and instantaneously travel from one end of the galaxy to the other. But they theorize that however infinitesimal the fucking space between the two folded points are, that could be the size of an entirely new fucking universe as far as we know.
Nice.
There's something in between there. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
you know, in subspace, size is irrelevant. You know, it could be the size of an atom, but it, you know, it's the length of a universe.
So if anybody wants to add to this or correct Mike at any point.
Yeah, correct my little nerd rant.
If something was missed in it or.
So we jumped around from Dune to Event Horizon to the theory of the Einstein-Rosen Bridge, which is basically a wormhole.
I thought that had something to do with the whole theory.
No, I believe wormholes are... don't quote me, because I'm not a fucking astrophysicist, but I think that wormholes are different than folding space. I believe wormholes work at a subspace level, whereas folding space-time is just folding space-time. But, you know, like I said, I'm not a fucking astrophysicist, so I don't know. But we're going to go ahead and call it a quits, because...
All right.
Between the last one of 50 minutes and this, our glitch, and then we're now at 25 some odd minutes on this. This is getting to be a little bit long, and I could geek out on this shit forever. We need to have a geek cast. I need people to volunteer. I want a geek cast. If you listen to this, I'm going to hit up people on Facebook and MySpace and Twitter and whatnot. I'm going to get some more mics. I'm going to throw together a geek cast. I want to sit around and talk about nerd shit. So send me an email saying you'd like to be on the GeekCast if you're in the Butte County area, and we'll see how many people we get. We can work around a fucking schedule and try and figure out...
Let's get all this stuff figured out.
Yeah, figure out where we can meet up with people and whatnot, and I would really love to get a GeekCast going. So on that note, which is a B-flat, we're going to call it a quits. And thanks, everybody, for riding the short bus, and we've been extremely long-winded on this episode.
Later, guys.
Bye-bye.